Hi, I'm Mira Sorvino, and you're watching Life Minute TV.
Oscar winner Mira Sorvino is making her Broadway debut, taking on the role of Roxy Hart in the long-running hit musical Chicago. We caught up with her last week to hear all about it and more. This is a Life Minute with Mira Sorvino.
I've not had this much fun doing anything with maybe the exception of Romy and Michelle. Like, this is the most fun I could have. Getting to learn all the choreography, all the songs, create my version of Roxy, my take on the character, and get to perform it with these high-level professionals who are so respected and beloved. This is truly a dream come true, and I'm pinching myself every minute. I had always wanted to do Broadway, and I had been offered a show a long time ago, and then the dates changed, and I couldn't do it because of my schedule, and I have always regretted that. Broadway doesn't come along that often, especially if you're mostly known as a film and television actor. So this move is a move from the heart.
Dancing the cha-cha. With her partner Gleb Savchenko, it's Mira Sorvino.
After I got kicked off Dancing with the Stars, I got really sad because I loved dancing so much and it was making me so happy to be able to be dancing as a daily calling and performing it live. Then I said to myself, wait a second, don't let this get you down. That show would have been over in a few weeks anyway. Why don't you go to jazz classes? Because I'd never studied jazz dancing. I'd only done ballet and social dance like salsa and waltz and a little bit of flamenco and hustle and different things for movies. So I was like, okay, let's go to jazz class. Let's learn how to dance so maybe in a few years you could do Broadway. And that was 2 years ago. And I took classes every week whenever I was home, like several times a week with some incredible dancers in LA. And when I'd come to New York, I'd go to Steps and pick up whatever classes I could. Then I was talking to my agents and I was like, I would really like to do Broadway. Is there some way that I could do Chicago? And they were like, well, I don't know. We haven't had any clients. But well, okay, we'll get you a meeting with the wonderful casting director, Duncan. And we had this Love Fest talk in April. And then I went back to California and they had me do these work sessions, one with Greg Butler, their LA dance person, and one with Eric Vitro, their singing coach. And I passed them. And then I came to New York and I met our wonderful producer, Barry, and they made me the offer. And I took my daughter to see the show that night and she was blown away that I was going to do it. And I am so excited. Like, my family calls me and I'm like, I'm so happy. I had the best day. And they're like, wow, you sound really happy. And like my friend the other night, she's like, how is it? Is it hard? And I was like, well, it's hard. Yeah, but it's so much fun. And she's like, no one in New York says they're happy and they're having fun. You know, so this is really joyful for me. The beauty part of this is that no two Roxys are the same. People make it their own. I've tried not to look at other people's Roxys online because I just wanted to find who I felt she was inside and build her from the ground up for me. I did see two different Roxys in the stage production already, and they were both fantastic and totally different from each other and totally different from the way I'm playing it. So that's really cool. So I'm like, okay, I've got my own Roxy. She's my own real living, breathing person, and that's how I'm doing her. My early origins were in theater, certainly all throughout my youth, amateur theatricals and professional production of the Nutcracker Suite and every school play possible. You know, and I did some plays, some musicals, like I was Aldonza Dulcinea and Man of La Mancha at Harvard. And when I got out, I did a cabaret called Night of Nilsson, which was at Don't Tell Mamas. It was like a tribute to the songs of Harry Nilsson, along with some other singers. You know, the typical New York actress life, like waitressing, you know, modeling, acting. And then I just started winnowing it down. And I was like, I just have to focus on acting, have to cut out everything else, go for broke. I, you know, doubled down on my acting classes with Wynne Handman, whom I loved so much. And then I started working, and I started working in film, and film took over fast. And then I just started working back to back in film. And so I ended up not really living in New York much anymore. That sort of takes you away from Broadway. You know, basic acting is all the same as living truthfully under imaginary circumstances, right? That's Stanislavski. But you have to do it with enough energy and volume, even though you're mic'd, that the audience is really taking in every moment. On film, you can be tiny. You can just not say anything, but your eyes tell the story because the camera's in on your eyes. That is not Broadway. Like, you know, you have to be forward facing most of the time. You're singing out. You're not really singing to the characters most of the time, but you still have to have that same inner life. It's just on adrenaline. You know, it's just like you've just taken an adrenaline shot. And then the audience, I believe, whenever I'm performing in front of a live audience, brings that to a whole nother level because you feed off of their live energy in the room and you're kind of vibing back and forth with them. And, you know, you're also, your rhythm is changed by them laughing, you know, and just sort of riding that wave of reality heightened. It's heightened reality, but it's like downhill skiing. Once you have children, like, being a mother is actually your first priority in life. Nothing should be more important than your children to you if you're going to have them. You want to give your best to your family. But as a professional person, you also have to give your all in your jobs. So it's, you know, I've turned down a lot of work that would have taken me away from them long term. Like, I turned down several television series when they were small that would have made me a very wealthy woman. But I was like, I don't want to miss all their moments. You know, they weren't even in school yet. And I was like, I can't be away on a 22 episode thing. You make your exchanges when you can, you know? And now is, like, even this, leaving to do this, because we live in California now. I used to be bi-coastal until 2014, then we had to let our apartment go because our kids were in school in California, and it was like, why am I having two homes? But I have to leave them for 3 months, 3.5 months, and I was so sad. I was so sad because my life is so full with, like, you know, especially over the summer, the two college kids were back home, so we had four kids in the house. It was, like, very busy and, you know, full-time mom and all the things that go with that, and now I'm here and I'm living a little bit selfishly. You know, I'm living for me. Like, this is my dream, but they're all being very supportive. But, like, it's like, I feel like I'm a young actress again, like, walking all over the city, going to my appointments, doing my dance classes, you know. And it's weird. It's like this singular focus that I can put on the show that it requires. I don't know if I could do it as well if they were here, honestly, because I'd be distracted and I wouldn't be putting all of my off time into the show. So it's all working out, but it's interesting. You have to be able to do both. But as a mother or a father, it's always a challenge, I think. My dad was in shows and we would go see them. You know, I didn't see that championship season for which he was nominated for the Tony, but I saw Wheelbarrow Closers and Marlon Brando sat right here. I saw him in the Kennedy Center doing The Baker's Wife with Patti LuPone, whom I've worked with twice since then, which has been so much fun. There was a moment when I was doing Quiz Show, which was my third movie, where I thought I was going to be fired. It was the first day, and Robert Redford was directing, and it was a big deal for me to get this supporting role. And I was coming from independent film where they did like three takes, two takes. You're using short ends in Cannes. And he was doing 20 takes from each angle. And I saw him whispering in the back, talking to the casting director, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to call the other girl. Like, I'm going to be fired. I'm going to be sent home. Tomorrow I'm not going to show up to work. And I called my dad, like, in tears. I'm like, I don't think he's happy with my work. He's doing so many takes. I must not be giving him what he wants. And he said, Mira, at a certain point, you just have to say, just say it. He said, you have to go out there and make a big artistic leap. You cannot be afraid to soar. If you do not give yourself the license to fail, you will never fly. You will only play safe, palatable performances. But you need to take a big artistic leap, make your choices, do your work, make that big artistic leap. And what's the worst that could happen? You could get fired. Everyone gets fired at some point. But this is the way, you know, trust in your own artistic. Go in there and take a big swing at it and just say, it was great advice for any artist, I think, for any artist, athlete, anybody in a sort of thing that requires that personal, where you have to have the courage of your convictions. It's an important life lesson for anyone.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.